My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, not long ago in the country of Australia, there was a particularly difficult court case that was facing the people. There was a man who accused another man of stealing his own sheep. But the man in his own defense said, "My sheep got lost during the storm and got mixed in with this other man's flock. So when I recognized him, I brought him back to myself." Since there was no distinguishing mark between the sheep, what happened was that they had to go to court. And so the judge, faced with this difficult decision, had a bit of wisdom. So what he did was he ordered the plaintiff, the one who was suing, to go outside the courtroom and to stand outside the doors, while he ordered the sheep itself to come in and stand before all at the front of the courtroom. What he then commanded the man to do was to call out to his sheep. And when he did so, the sheep didn't move. As everybody laughed at this, he then told the plaintiff and the defendant to exchange places. So the man who took the sheep went outside and did the same. Not only did the sheep start to move a little bit when he called, but what happened was the sheep began to run out there toward the outside of the courtroom. And at this, as everybody sort of clapped their hands and rejoiced at this scene which was going on before them, preening to himself, the judge just said, "The sheep hear the master's voice." Case dismissed. Now this is a real situation that happened not very long ago. And it is proving out the words of Jesus Christ in our gospel today, that the sheep, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, if you look at the way that sheep work in the ancient world, especially in the time of Judea, the Judean countryside was filled with all sorts of sheep and shepherds grazing at the same time in the same area. But there were only like two or three pens where the sheep were able to go there and to be able to spend the night. So all of them went into the same place. And each one by one, the shepherds, they went there and laid their own bodies across the entrance so that anything going out or anything coming in had to pass through them. In this way, each one of the shepherds really laid down their lives for the sheep, protecting them from the bears, from the lions, from the wolves, which would seek to attack the sheep. But if we look at what Jesus did, he gives us real examples from their daily life and also ones that apply to today. When we look at the rest of the context of the scripture in the gospel, the 10th chapter of John, we see this. We see Jesus says this: "The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they, my sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life that they may never perish." You see, brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be a good shepherd, the kind of shepherd that you and I have. He's so good that he really did lay his life down upon the cross for us, to protect us from the wolves which would try to seek, to kill, to steal, and to destroy our own souls. St. Ephrem, one of the early deacons of the church, had this to say about Christ's great sacrifice. He said, "Death trampled our Lord underfoot, but he in turn treated death as a high road for his own feet. He submitted to it, enduring it willingly, because by this means he would be able to destroy death in spite of itself. Death had its own way when our Lord went out from Jerusalem carrying his cross, but when a loud cry from the cross, see, summoned the dead from the underworld, death was powerless to prevent it. Death slew him by means of the body he had assumed, but that same body proved to be a weapon with which he conquered death. Concealed within the cloak of his own manhood, his Godhead engaged death in combat. But in slaying our Lord, death itself was slain. It was able to kill his natural human life, but was itself killed by the life which is above the nature of man. Death could not devour our Lord, unless he first possessed a body. Neither could hell swallow him up unless he bore our flesh. And so he came in search of a chariot in which to ride to the underworld. The chariot was his body, with which he received from the virgin. In it he invaded death's fortress, broke open the strong room, and scattered all its treasure. These words of St. Ephrem tell us what Jesus did upon the cross and what he lived out for us in this Easter season by rising and giving us his life. What St. Ephrem reminds us is what it means to be a good shepherd, the good shepherd that we have in Jesus. And this shepherd gave up everything for his flock, for you and for me. But the real question that is facing us today is not how great a shepherd we have in Jesus Christ. We know that. The question is, what shepherds do we have to listen to today? What shepherds are we listening to this day? Is our world so full of contrary voices that we cannot hear the voice of the shepherd? 3 years ago this Friday, what happened? April 15th, 2013, there was a great disturbance in the city of Boston, wasn't there? When there were men and women running a great marathon. The Boston Marathon bombings happened 3 years ago today when a teenage boy set off a bomb that brought terror not only to the city of Boston but to the entirety of our nation, crippling us in this way. The question we ask is, where were the shepherds? Where are the shepherds that influenced those men? What happened in their life was that their parents abandoned them. These Chechenian Russians, they returned home but without their children. Yeah, one of them was 21 years old and so could take care of himself. But the other was just a little teenage boy, a young teenage boy. They left him in the care of his brother, who was so easily preyed upon and poisoned by radicals, who in turn poisoned this other young man too. We have to ask ourselves, where were the shepherds? Where are the shepherds today? Dear friends, if we as parents abandon our role of shepherding, then we cannot be surprised if the wolves leap over those walls unprotected and go in for the kill. I tell you about my friend Jordan. I had a friend Jordan growing up who was always kind of the smallest kid, the runt of the group, always the smallest kid in the class. In fact, smaller than all the girls too. He had a baby face, and so because of these two things coming together, he could have passed at any moment for somebody who was very, very young and able to get those child discounts, be able to save a little bit of money. But his father would never let him do it. His father would never let him cheat. He didn't allow his kids to lie because he said this would bring dishonor to our family. Even more so, he said this brings dishonor to our God. What he taught them was he always taught them the difference between what is right and what is wrong, and he held them to a very high standard. His dad always said, no matter what, no matter what the price is, you do what is right. And you pay the consequences for doing what is right. And what is Jesus? Jesus is our great model of righteousness. He calls each and every one of us today to follow in that path of righteousness. But where is our society? Our society has come to the point where we just say, hey, if I can get away with it, if everybody is out there doing it, I gotta get my own piece of the pie because nobody's gonna be looking out for me. If I can do it, what's so wrong with it? If I can get away with it. Brothers and sisters, this is what is corrupting our nature from nation from within. It is letting those wolves into our lives who will be able to attack our young people. When parents stop shepherding, when they stop looking after their children, why should we be surprised when we're having to deal with the consequences? When this happens, what the church is only relegated to is a place of being a mere caretaker, being one who is able to merely apply the band-aids of the sacraments in a world that is wounded and hurting. The church then is not able to be the leader which God has called her to be, the prophet, able to bring forth a change for good, transforming others, raising them to the level and the dignity for which God has ordained the church to do. What's special about today? Today we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Easter, which we know as Good Shepherd Sunday. Vocation Sunday, which is even more. A time where we pray for vocations to spring up within the church so that leaders within the church may rise up and continue us on in the faith to encourage us in our daily lives. But brothers and sisters, if we will not get any sort of leaders within our church, if they are not first being raised up within our homes, which the Second Vatican Council talks about as the very fruitful ground from which vocations spring up. If we do not teach our children right from wrong, if we do not teach them the Ten Commandments, if we do not teach them virtue, and I tell you, I just got finished examining all of our confirmation students, and it was so sad to see how few of them were able to list the Ten Commandments. Brothers and sisters, we are failing. Parents, we are failing in training up our children in the commandments, in what is right and what is wrong. When we see evil within our society, is it any question why, if they don't know those Ten Commandments? If we abandon it, brothers and sisters, parents, then it's all over. We've already lost if we abandon shepherding our children. The founders of our country said it well. They spoke of us in this way. They said, you cannot have a democracy unless you have a virtuous populace of people who are seeking out excellence and virtue. Democracy can't exist because then everybody is just looking out for themselves, seeking to build up their own selves in some sort of way, rather than looking out for the good of the other, the good of the nation. If we are not teaching them self-sacrifice, self-discipline, and self-sacrificial love, it's all lost. Democracy fails, and we see the problems that we are facing in our nation today. It's only the natural result. Parents, if you are arguing in front of your children, this is scandalous. It is scandalous if you are arguing in front of your children. Good parents do not argue in front of their children. If they have disagreements, whatever they may be, what they do is they go into the privacy of their own room behind closed doors and have it out to speak about the things that need to be said. So many parents come up to me all the time and they say, I can't control my kids. My kids are so disrespectful. They're arguing with me nonstop. Well, where do you think they learned it from? Where do you think they learned it from? If they see their parents at one another's throats yelling at one another, aren't they going to do the exact same thing because you're telling them it's all right? Brothers and sisters, parents, if you argue in front of your children, this is scandalous. Parents, if you are not praying with your children each and every day, this too is scandalous. This is scandalous. We have that question wondering about why we don't have leaders within the church, why we don't have better priests, why we don't have better leaders. Well, where do you think they come from? Where do you think they come from? They don't just spring out of nowhere. I wonder this about our church here in Fort Sumner. I wonder whether we are going to be able to have priests in the future here staffing this parish. What is our situation now? We are sharing a priest half-time between us and Vaughn, split down the middle. His time is split in half. But what's the next step? What's the next step? Is that we get Mass occasionally, maybe once a month. And then beyond that, who knows? Do we get Mass at all? Vocations don't spring out of nowhere. They spring out of families that pray, families that teach their children to pray. When was the last time a vocation sprang forth from this parish? That's what our future holds if we do not pray for our children. Families, mothers, fathers, if you do not pray with your children every day, this is scandalous. What else beyond that? What else beyond that? If you do not teach your children right and wrong, if you do not teach them what is right, if you don't lead them in the way of righteousness and instruct them in the ways of the commandments, if you yourselves are cheating, especially on your taxes which are due tomorrow, is it a wonder why we have so many financial problems within our nation? Why we are crippled by economic difficulties if we ourselves are teaching our children to cheat, teaching them against the commandments, teaching them against God's love? This is why our nation is crippling. We don't have a difficulty within our politics. That's not what's going on. We have a difficulty within our families. And that is where we are losing, brothers and sisters. Where are the shepherds? Where are those who are shepherding our children? Have we abandoned shepherding altogether? You know, I'm going to tell you about my father. And I don't apologize if I get emotional with this. He is my hero. My father, you know what he does every day? He has a Bible that he sets beside his nightstand. And each and every day, he reads it. My father, he has a 3-hour and 40-minute drive to work every single day. And what does he spend his time doing? He spends his time listening to an audiobook of the Bible. He spends it listening to talks upon the faith so that he himself can be encouraged by what God says, but also so that he can have something to say to those who are his co-workers, so he can have something to say to the Knights of Columbus that he helps out with. He wants to be able to be an effective witness in the world. You know, my father taught me a great many things with his words, but none of those mattered because he showed me how to live by modeling it with his life in the very way which he lived. You know, my mother did the exact same thing in a different way. She taught us how to love, how to share, how to care for others who were beyond our family, but also those within. She taught us love because she modeled that behavior for us. We have to be able to do this, brothers and sisters. What about us? Many of us, maybe we don't have kids who are around the house all the time, but grandparents. Grandparents, if your children are not teaching your grandchildren how to pray, how to live, how to be virtuous, then you are the ones who have to plant that seed within their lives. If your children are failing, you have to pick up where they left off. So when they come over to pray with them, not just at mealtimes, but before they go to bed, to teach them how to enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they will fail. Godparents, what is it that you pledged before God that you would uphold? You said that you would, if the parents fail, you yourselves would be the ones who would step up and take it up. Godparents are not to be chosen lightly, because if you, as godparents, fail in this duty, you are just as guilty as the parents. The sin is just as much held to your account if the children are not raised upright. We don't choose godparents because we want to honor somebody. We choose godparents who are hopefully holier persons than we are. And if not, then we fail our kids. Shepherding is for all of our families, brothers and sisters, because otherwise, all I can do as your priest is damage control. All I can do is be in the confessional for the rest of my life, putting on band-aids upon people who are utterly wounded and hurt and at distress and destroyed. But I cannot be the one who is leading them to greater light, leading them to greater holiness, if it's failing in the home. We have no leaders within our nation. And because of that, our nation has no light. Next week is an important week, not just because we're going to be able to confirm 4 of our young people who have passed their exams, not just because we're going to have the Archbishop come to Vaughan and to be able to install your pastor as the pastor. But next week, on Thursday, for me, it's my baptismal day. 31 years ago when I was baptized. But that day is also the feast day of St. Anselm. And he prayed from the heart many beautiful things. I share with you a little bit of one of his prayers. He once prayed, "My soul, have you found what you are looking for? You are looking for God. You have discovered that this supreme being is life itself. Light, wisdom, goodness, eternal blessedness, and blessed eternity. He is everywhere and he is timeless." He continues on praying. He says, "Lord my God, you gave me life and restored it when I lost it. Tell my soul that longs for you what else you are besides what it has already understood, so that it may see clearly." I think that's what we need today more than any other time in our history. We need clear-sightedness. We need to be able to see what is going on so that we can see the shepherd, so that we can hear his voice as he calls out to us amidst the clamor of all those other voices which are misshepherding our children, picking up where we are not shepherding. Our good shepherd, what he does for us is he models perfect love, self-sacrificial love upon the cross, which we come to experience at Mass each and every day, each and every Sunday when we come. Because he wants to lead us into virtuous living, to have virtue within our lives, but to build up a virtuous society around that virtue, founded upon Christ Jesus, who is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd of the flock. When we focus on his light, it is only then that we are able to see clearly. Families, we cannot give up on shepherding, because this is scandalous. It's not too late. It's not too late to start over again, to begin here, even within our wounded society, because what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "I, in the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So it begins with us. If we are his sheep, to listen to his voice, to put attention to what God is trying to say, and us begin to follow with our own actions, with our own example, and then leading our children into that way. For they will follow our actions far more than they will follow our words. There is still time if we put it to focus upon his voice. Because what our Lord does is he still calls us to follow him, the Good Shepherd. Praised be Jesus Christ.